Sayada Usalananda at the Tathagata Meditation Center, San Jose, California, on October 24, 1997.
We finished the first step in the spiritual path of a follower of the Buddha. So the first step in the spiritual path is purity of moral conduct or sila. So by keeping sila, by keeping precepts, one is able to control his or her bodily actions and verbal actions. So if a person can control his actions, if a person can keep himself from killing living beings and so on, it is a great achievement. But on the spiritual path, just to keep precepts is not enough. Because even though we keep the precepts, in our minds we can have impurities. Sometimes in the minds we may kill some living being, or we may do something wrong in the minds. So in order to control our minds, we need to go to the next step, which is called samadhi. And Buddha said that when mind is developed, when mind is cultivated, then it brings happiness. So he said, "No other thing do I know that brings so much happiness as a mind that is developed, that is repeatedly cultivated." Monks, mind when developed and repeatedly cultivated brings happiness. So this means that if we want to gain happiness, we have to control our minds, we have to develop the mind, we have to repeatedly cultivate the mind. In order to develop our minds, we need to practice samadhi or concentration. Now, Buddha exhorted monks to develop concentration, and he said, "A monk whose mind is with concentration, or whose mind is concentrated, knows according to reality." So knows the things as they are. And how does he know according to reality? He knows that the eye is impermanent. He knows that the visible objects are impermanent. He knows that seeing consciousness is impermanent. He knows that the contact between the eye and the visible objects is impermanent. And he knows that the sensation that arises out of the contact of these is impermanent. It is important that if we want to understand things as they really are, if we want to penetrate into the nature of things, if we want to see things as impermanent and so on, we need to develop samadhi. So before we develop samadhi, we must first know what samadhi is. and what are its characteristics, and so on. Now the word samadhi is translated as concentration, defined as wholesome one-pointedness or wholesome unification of mind. But samadhi can be divided into two parts, sam and adhi. Adhi means something that puts or that places, and sam here has two meanings. The first meaning is evenly, and the second meaning is rightly. So samadhi means something, some mental state that puts evenly and rightly. So put what? That puts or that places the mind, the citta and cetasikas, the consciousness and mental factors, and places where? On a single object. So samadhi means a mental factor that places or that keeps the consciousness and its concomitants on a single object. So we must understand that samadhi is a mental state or mental factor. And this mental factor keeps the consciousness and its concomitants on a single object evenly and rightly. Evenly means do not let the concomitants scatter. So it keeps all the concomitants collected. And rightly means not let them be distracted to other objects. So the samadhi keeps the citta and cetasikas, the consciousness and mental factors, collected, and then it does not give them chance to be distracted. So this is what we call samadhi. And the characteristic of samadhi is said to be non-distraction. So when there is samadhi, your mind is not distracted. Your mind does not go to other objects, but it stays on the meditation object. So its characteristic is non-distraction. And when it stays on the object, that means it does not let the concomitants to be distracted, and so its function is said to be to eliminate distraction. And when mind is kept on one object only, mind does not waver. Mind does not go here and there. And so the manifestation of samadhi is non-wavering, non-shaking. Sometimes samadhi is compared to a flame of lamp in a place where there is no draft of air. And its proximate cause is, it is for wholesome samadhi, its proximate cause is sukha, bliss. Sukha may mean happiness or comfort. So sukha or comfort is necessary for us to get concentration. Now, there are different kinds of samadhi, and tonight we will deal with samatha samadhi. The word samatha and the word samadhi are often used synonymously. So samadhi means samatha, samatha means samadhi, concentration. Now samatha means making something calm. So something that calms down the mind is called samatha. So it is the same as samadhi. Now, as you know, in Buddhism, two kinds of meditation are taught, the samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. So in both kinds of meditation, we have to develop samadhi. But in samatha meditation, samadhi is more important. Samadhi is predominant. And there are two kinds of samadhi in samatha meditation. The neighborhood samadhi or neighborhood concentration and absorption concentration. Neighborhood concentration means concentration which is in the neighborhood of jhana concentration. So the neighborhood concentration precedes jhana concentration. And jhana concentration is a concentration when one gets or when one attains the higher state of consciousness called jhana. So samadhi in the jhana state is stronger than the samadhi in neighborhood state. And both the neighborhood concentration and jhana concentration are able to subdue or suppress the five mental hindrances. And samatha meditation can lead you to the attainment of neighborhood concentration and jhana concentration. Then after the attainment of jhana, you can further practice and attain what are called supernormal knowledges or abhinyas. In Buddhism, samatha meditation is taught not just for the sake of attaining neighborhood concentration and jhana concentration. It is taught in Buddhism so that the concentrations, the two kinds of concentrations gained through the samatha meditation will be made into a basis for vipassana meditation. So there is no such thing as samatha for samatha's sake only. So Buddha, in Buddhism, samatha is taught as a preliminary or as a basis for vipassana meditation. Now the aim of Buddha's teachings is to get free from mental defilements. In order to get free from mental defilements, one need to see the true nature of things. One need to see that things are impermanent and so on. But samatha by itself cannot lead you to discovering these characteristics of mind and matter. Samatha by itself cannot lead you to understand the true nature of things, and so it cannot lead you to the eradication of mental defilements. But after you have developed strong samadhi by way of samatha meditation, you can make that samadhi or that jhana the object of vipassana, and then you practice vipassana on these objects, and you go from one stage of vipassana to another until you reach the final goal. So samatha by itself cannot lead you to the eradication of mental defilements, but it can be very helpful in the practice of vipassana meditation. Now, samatha meditation can be practiced taking many subjects. We say there are 40 subjects of samatha meditation. That means you can practice any one of these 40 kinds of meditation. Please look at the handouts. The first are called 10 kasinas. The word kasina is very difficult to translate, so it is best left untranslated and just called kasina. The kasina means all or whole. That means you put the mind on the whole of the kasina object. So it is called kasina. Now there are 10 kinds of kasina subjects taught in Buddha's teachings, and they are earth kasina, water kasina, fire kasina, air kasina, and then blue kasina, yellow kasina, red kasina, white kasina, space kasina, and light kasina. So the first four are the four elements taught in Buddhism: earth, water, fire, and air. And when you practice earth kasina and you are successful, then you will get first upachara samadhi, neighborhood concentration. And if you go on, then you can get all five jhanas, the first to fifth jhanas. All the 10 kasinas are the same. So by practicing any one of these kasinas, you can get both concentrations, that is neighborhood concentration and jhana concentration. If you want to practice earth kasina, then you will have to make a kasina disc. You use some clay, preferably the color of dawn. So you make a disc about 10 inches in diameter, and then you make it smooth and clean. And then you put it in front of you, neither too far away from you not too close to you. And then you put the mind on the whole of this Kasina disc, and then say to yourself, earth, 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 thousands and thousands of times. Actually, you are memorizing that that disc. Sometimes you open your eyes and look at it and say, earth, earth. Sometimes you close your eyes. And so, by practice, a time will come when you can see the earth disc even when your eyes are closed, so as clearly as when your eyes are open. So when you have got that sign, we call it a sign, then you may leave the real disc alone and then try to dwell your mind on the image of the kasina you have memorized. So if you go on contemplating on the image of mental image of that kasina, that image becomes more and more refined. Formerly, the kasina disc, the mental image will appear as the exact replica of the earth disc. If there are some blemishes on the disc, earth disc, then they will appear in the mental image. But when you reach the next stage, where it is refined, then these blemishes disappear and the mental image becomes as smooth as and as clear as the disc of the moon and the sun and so on. Then you dwell on it again and again, and then a type of consciousness arises in you, and that consciousness may have never been arisen in you before, and that is what we call jhana consciousness. So at the moment of jhana consciousness and before reaching that jhana consciousness, your mind or your concentration is very good, and your mind is able to be on the kasina, the mental image of kasina for a long time. So that is when you get jhana through the practice of earth kasina. Okay, other kasinas also, if you want to practice, say water kasina, you may put some water in the pot and then look at it. Or you may build a fire and look at the fire through a hole made in the wall or somewhere. In air kasina, you may look at trees, see, that, or the branches moving because of the air. Or you may feel the air that comes through the cracks in the wall or comes through a window. And the blue kasina, now, that is a color kasina, so you can make a disc, or you can paint a circle and then fill it with blue color or yellow color, red color or white color. So in Burma, number 5, nila is translated as brown. But in other countries, it is translated as blue. So for Burmese, maybe they will paint brown. But I think both are correct. So you can make any color, any blue or brown, yellow, red, white. And if you want to look at, if you want to practice space kasina, then you have to look at the space made by a hole or somewhere where there is space. And the light kasina, look at the light through the wall, through the holes in the wall and so on. So you can take any one of them as the object of your meditation and practice samatha on it and get the upajara samadhi or the jhana samadhi. The second group is called 10 asubhas, 10 foulnesses, foulness of the body. So by this practice, people develop the sense of foulness in the corpses, and also try to see the foulness in the living bodies. Now there are 10 kinds of this foulness meditation, depending on the 10 stages of decay in a corpse. Now this meditation is not possible nowadays simply because we do not see corpses nowadays. But during the time of the Buddha, the dead bodies are left at the cemetery to be decayed or to be eaten by dogs and birds. And so it was possible to see corpses in different stages of decay. We can practice this kind of meditation by looking at pictures or just imagining seeing and those pictures, and then try to develop sense of foulness in the images as well as in our living bodies. So by practicing this foulness of the body meditation, one can attain upachara samadhi and first jhana only. So by the practice of this, one cannot get second, third, fourth and fifth jhanas. One can get only first jhana. That is because the object is so gross that it always needs vitaka, the initial application of mind, to keep the mind on the object. So only the jhana which is with vitaka, the initial application, can be obtained in the practice of foulness meditation. Now we can just imagine about these corpses, because nowadays we cannot see the corpses. So the first one is bloated corpse. That means the corpse that has become swelled. And the second one is livid corpse. That means the corpse that has become black and blue. Number three is festering corpse. That is oozing. Pus. So oozing pus. And number four is dismembered corpse, dismembered by enemies or whatever, or dismembered in execution and so on. So they are not to be seen nowadays. And number five is eaten corpse, that is eaten by dogs, jackals, birds and so on. And number six is scattered in pieces corpse. So after being eaten, and the parts may be scattered here and there. And number seven is mutilated and scattered in pieces corpse. Again, the body is mutilated and then parts, pieces scattered here and there. Number eight is bloody corpse with blood oozing out. Number 9 is worm-infested corpse. And number 10, skeleton. I think skeleton is possible. Or you can at least buy a plastic skeleton and practice fullness meditation. Although it is not the real one, I think it can help. So the 10 fullness meditations are for getting rid of attachment to bodies. Now the next group is called 10 anusatis, so 10 recollections, 10 kinds of recollections. So the number 1 is recollection of the Buddha. Recollection of the Buddha means recollection of the qualities of the Buddha. The qualities of the Buddha. And traditionally there are 9 qualities of the Buddha, and you can take any one of them or all 9 of them and dwell upon them again and again, and developing samadhi. Recollection of the Dhamma means recollection of the qualities of the Dhamma, and the recollection of the Sangha means the recollection of the qualities of the Sangha. And then number 4 is recollection of morality. That means recollection of one's own sila, which is pure. So in order to practice this, first you have to be pure in your moral conduct. And then watching your moral conduct, a purity of moral conduct, you say, my sila or my moral conduct is pure, and there are no breaks in the precepts, and so on. And recollection of generosity, then you do some act of generosity, and then recollect or contemplate on the generosity you have practiced. Recollection of the devas. That means not thinking of the devas. That means a recollection of the good qualities in you, like faith, generosity, wisdom, and so on. So, but when you recollect on the good qualities in you, you make the devas your witnesses or the evidences. That means these devas, possessing these good qualities before they became devas. So these devas possessing these qualities become devas, and these qualities are in me also. So in that way, first you think of the good qualities in the devas, and then you see those same good qualities in you, and that is called recollection of the devas. Not recollection of the devas actually, but recollection of one's own good qualities, taking devas as evidences. Recollection of peace means recollection of the peaceful qualities of Nibbana. It is said that this meditation can be successful, totally successful, only for enlightened persons. But unenlightened persons can also practice this meditation through hearsay. And recollection of death, that you all know, that is about death, which is certain, and about life, which is uncertain. And number 9 is mindfulness occupied with the body. That means recollection of the 32 parts of the body, and trying to see loathsomeness of these parts. And number 10 is mindfulness of breathing. That means mindfulness of breathing in and out. So this mindfulness of breathing in and out can be a samatha meditation or vipassana meditation, depending on how you practice it. Nowadays, when people practice recollection of the Buddha in Burma, they use a rosary. And there are 9 attributes of the Buddha, and they say the attributes again and again with the rosary. So they may say Arahant, and then putting down one bead, Sammasambuddho, another bead, Vijjacharanasambhano, another bead, and so on. And the rosary has 108 beads, and so one round, to finish one round, you say 9 attributes how many times? Twelve times. Yeah? Hmm. So people use the rosaries for that purpose. But in the commentaries, there is no mention of rosaries when practicing recollection of the Buddha and so on. So you may or may not use rosaries when you practice the recollection of the Buddha and so on. So when you contemplate on the qualities of the Buddha, there is no no attachment, no greed in your mind. There is no anger in your mind. There is no delusion in your mind. And so your mind becomes calm, calm down, and you get what is called upachara samadhi, neighborhood samadhi. Although you get neighborhood samadhi, you will not get jhana through that practice, through that meditation. It is because the qualities of the Buddhas are profound, and also there are so many qualities that mind cannot be concentrated strong enough to get into the state of jhana. So by the practice of the recollection of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, morality, generosity of the devas, and peace, you will get only neighborhood samadhi and not jhana samadhi. Now here, neighborhood samadhi, it is called neighborhood samadhi because it resembles the real neighborhood samadhi. But since there is no jhana here, it is not the real neighborhood samadhi. Now, when you practice number 9, mindfulness occupied with the body, you get both neighborhood samadhi and first jhana, because it is like the foulness meditation. So you get first jhana there. And mindfulness of breathing can lead to the attainment of both neighborhood concentration and all, that means first to fifth jhana concentration. The next group is the 4 appamanyas, or the 4 illimitables. Now, illimitables means without limit, limitless. These 4 are more popularly known as 4 Brahma Viharas, 4 divine abidings. When you practice any one of these, you are living like Brahmas. So they are called the living like Brahmas. The first one is loving kindness. You all know what loving kindness is. That is desire for the well-being of all beings. And compassion here means a desire to remove the suffering of all beings. And number three, appreciative joy. That means when other people are in happiness, other people are prosperous, other people are successful, you are happy. Equanimity. Now, number four is the most sublime of these four. And so when you practice equanimity, you do not feel loving kindness or compassion or appreciative joy, but you become neutral and you are not moved by either pleasant or unpleasant objects, or either suffering or happiness. These four are called illimitables or limitless ones, because the object of these four, that is beings, must be without limit. That means when you practice loving kindness meditation, you have to pervade all beings with thoughts of loving kindness. And compassion also, you have to wish all beings in distress to be free from suffering. And number three, you have to be happy with all beings who are in prosperity and success. And four, the equanimity also, you have to be neutral to all beings. So these four kinds of meditation take beings as the object. And the beings they take must be all beings without limit, and that is why they are called limitless ones. Now, when we practice loving kindness meditation, first we begin with ourselves, and then we send thoughts to our teachers, to our parents, and so on. So until we reach all beings, there is a limit. May my teachers be well, happy, and peaceful. We are limiting to the teachers, and so on. That is why we do not stop there, but we go until we reach all beings. So when you practice loving-kindness meditation, your mind must go to all beings without exception, and the same with compassion and so on. And practice of loving-kindness can lead you to the attainment of neighborhood concentration, and then first to fourth jhanas. Compassion the same, appreciative joy the same, and equanimity will lead you to the attainment of neighborhood concentration and fifth jhana concentration. Now, when you practice loving kindness, you say to yourself, may all beings be happy and peaceful and so on. Then what do you say when you practice compassion? Now, the object of compassion is beings who are suffering. So when you practice compassion, you say, may all beings, let's say, may all beings get free from this suffering. So may all beings get free from suffering. Then what about number three? Appreciative joy, sympathetic joy. Sympathetic joy takes beings in prosperity or beings in success as object. So you take them as object and say, may they not fall away from this prosperity, may they not fall away from this happiness. First one, equanimity. When you want to practice equanimity, what do you say? In Bali, you say kammasaka. Beings have karma as their own property. That means you may do what you can, say, for beings, but if you cannot do any more, then you have to accept it, and you have to say, oh, beings have karma as their property, and they suffer or they enjoy according to their own karma, and so there is no way of interfering with karma. The next group is only one, and that is one perception of loathsomeness in food. Now, when Buddha thought of teaching beings, first he was dissuaded not to teach, because his teachings were described as going upstream. So here, this practice is to develop perception of loathsomeness in food. Nobody will like this meditation. So when you go to a restaurant, they will say, enjoy your food. they want you to enjoy. One time I was at a retreat, and my attendant, he was an American. So whenever he brought food to me, and he said, enjoy the food. But here Buddha said, don't enjoy the food. So you must develop loathsomeness in food. That is to get rid of attachment to food. And loathsomeness in food can be developed thinking in many ways, how you have to make effort to obtain, to get the food. And you have, for labor, maybe you have to cook, and in cooking you have to suffer, and monks, and then you have to, monks have to go to the village and go around the village and accepting a little food at different houses, and then they have to look here and there to avoid stray dogs and oxen and horses and so on. And also when they eat, the food mixed with saliva in your mouth, and then it becomes, if you can take some food you have chewed outside, you will not want to put it again in your mouth. So loathsome at that time, right? But when you do not look at it in your mouth, it's okay, you can swallow it. Once you took it out, you take it out, you will not even want to see it. So the loathsomeness of food should be developed in that way, but not so much that you throw up. But it is a kind of meditation which helps you not to be attached to your food. And what concentration can you get from this meditation? Only neighborhood concentration. You cannot get jhana concentration, because concentration cannot become strong enough to reach the stage of jhana. You have to be thinking of different aspects of loathsomeness in food, and so your mind cannot be strongly concentrated, and so it cannot reach the stage of jhana. And the next one is one analysis. That means analysis into the four elements. Now, in this meditation, you can take the different parts of the body, like head hair, body hair, and then define them as this is earth element, this is water element, and so on. There are 32 parts in the body, and 20 are said to be belong to earth element, and the 12th to water element. So first you must understand the four elements, and then you try to understand that some a characteristic, some characteristic is earth element and so on. For example, you feel the hardness somewhere here and there, and then you define that hardness as earth element, and then you feel the cohesiveness or wetness, and then you define it as water element and so on. So you try to see the elements everywhere, your body included, and so you lose the sense of compactness. So it can help you to see the another nature of things also. And by this meditation also, you can get only neighborhood concentration and not jhana concentration. Because to understand the four elements is not easy, it is difficult, and they are profound, and so samadhi cannot become strong enough to reach the state of jhana. The last group is the four immaterial states. Now it is impossible to understand the immaterial states without a study of Abhidhamma. So you have to study Abhidhamma to understand the immaterial states. Now these are a kind of jhanas. This type of meditation leads to the attainment of what are called immaterial jhanas. So they have the yogis have to transcend the material states and concentrate on the infinite space and so on. So it is difficult to understand for those who are not initiated in Abhidhamma. But I put them here because they are included in the 40 subjects of Samatha meditation. So these are the 40 subjects of Samatha meditation. So if you want to practice Samatha meditation, you can practice any one of them or a number of them. Now, from among the 40 subjects, Buddha recommended four to the monks to practice and to regard them as the protections. So these are called protections for monks. Protection against mental defilements. So these four are the recollection of the Buddha, recollection of death, loving kindness, and then foulness meditations. And according to the commentaries, these 40 subjects of Samatha meditation were to be found in other teachings or at other times also. And they are not like Vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditation is found only during the time of the Buddha, or Vipassana can be taught only by the Buddha. But Samatha meditation was taught by other teachers also, and so it is common to other teachings or other religions as well. So, although our emphasis should be on Vipassana meditation, we are not to say that Samatha meditation is nothing. Samatha meditation has its own place in the spiritual path, and also it has its value, and that is why Buddha taught the Samatha meditation also. The only thing we have to keep in mind is we are not to be satisfied with the practice of Samatha meditation only. So we must practice Samatha meditation whenever we can, but we must go to Vipassana so that we can get rid of mental defilements. So the aim of all Buddhists is to get rid of mental defilements, and since it can be achieved only through Vipassana meditation, so Vipassana meditation becomes the top priority among the practices. But it does not mean that we must exclude Samatha meditation from our practice. So if you can, you should practice some of the Samatha also. You may want to know more about Samatha meditation. And if you want to know more about Samatha meditation, I must refer you to Visuddhimagga. So Visuddhimagga is a book about 800 pages, and Samatha meditation may take about more than half. So if you are interested in understanding more about Samatha meditation, you pick up Visuddhimagga and read it. Okay.